take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read verses 1 through 4 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. Second Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 4. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you that your presence is here. Lord, thank you once again that you promised where two or three were gathered, you'd be in the midst. And here we have multiplied hundreds. Father, we need you today. We're a sinful people. We're a needy people. And yet there's needs all over this world that we have no idea about, but you do. And you'd like to use us to help all over this globe. Please do it today. Fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I think he thinks he's saved. I preach many sermons throughout the year. I think last year I traveled somewhere between 70 and 80,000 miles as I traveled the country and out of the country preaching the gospel. I preach at this church over and over and over again. There is no sermon that I preach that is as important to me as the one that I preach this Sunday morning of our missions conference. There is no sermon that I preach that is probably more important to our church than the sermon that I preach on this Sunday morning. You see, because there really is a heaven and there really is a hell. And at our missions conference, we raise money to keep people out of hell by the thousands. And so we need to succeed. To those of you that would be guests today and that maybe a bit about our church would be new to you, let me explain something. Every human being is going to spend their eternity either in heaven or in hell, and a church's purpose is to keep people out of hell. They have a soul, and it is our job as Christians. Proverbs 11:30 says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Meaning, as Christians, it is our obligation, our responsibility, our opportunity and privilege to tell others about Jesus Christ. And we are to put forth effort to win them to Jesus Christ that they might be saved and spend their eternity in heaven. This morning, I come to you on behalf of many other people, people from across the world and in our nation as well, people that are not saved. And I submit to you, it is of great importance and of an urgent matter that we listen to what's said here today because souls hang in the balance. Young people that are over here, I want you to look right this way. Please don't disturb the service. Pay attention this way. Give your attention for a little while to the fact that there are people in other places that do not have what we have. But especially do we give our attention to the fact that they do not have the Savior. And we do. We're saved. Brother Edward just sang, "We're saved." And many of you would sing that song, not quite like he did. But you could sing the song and say, "I'm saved." Please listen to me, if you will, today. Just a moment ago, Brother Bush read with you and you read aloud with him, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 through 4, where God begins to talk to us about heaven. And a home that we have on the other shore, that place that we call Glory Land. I'll read to you another passage of Scripture, if I could, to add to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Bible says in John chapter 14, verse number 2, it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Here God tells us, in my Father's house are many mansions. God is saying to you and to me, in heaven there are mansions. In Luke chapter 14, verse number 23, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Here is a story where some people were sent out, and God said, I want to send some people out, and I want them to go and get others, and I want to fill my house. It's a picture of Christians going out and gathering the lost and bringing them to God so God's house might be filled. So those mansions that God talks about will be mansions filled with people in heaven someday. Please, if you will, let me talk to you about the place called heaven for a while today. Heaven is a wonderful place. We sing about it as children, but as you grow older, you begin to realize there'll be one day you'll not just sing about it. If you're saved, you'll sing in it. One of these days, I'm going to a place that's called heaven. I hope you'll go with me. I hope you've trusted Christ as Savior, but I want to tell you a little bit about this place called heaven. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 57, verse number 15, that heaven is a high place. It's in the north and it's above us. The Bible says that heaven is a holy place, Psalm chapter 20, verse number 6. The Bible says that heaven is a happy place, Revelation chapter 7, verse number 17. The Bible says that heaven is a place without death, Revelation chapter 21, verse number 4. The Bible says that heaven is a place without sorrow, in Revelation 21, 4, it tells us that. In Revelation 21, 4, it tells us it's a place without crying or weeping, and then in Revelation 21, 4, it tells us there'll be no pain there. The Bible tells us it's a place without night or darkness, according to Revelation chapter 22, verse 3 through 5. The Bible tells us that heaven is a place without hunger, in Revelation chapter 7, verse number 16. The Bible tells us when we get to heaven, there'll be no thirst there, according to Revelation chapter 7, verse number 16. The Bible teaches that heaven is a place where there'll be no laziness. The Bible teaches that heaven is a place where the devil cannot enter. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse number 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." There's coming a point when the devil will be cast into a lake of fire, and he can't get out. He can't torment us anymore. He can't tempt us anymore. He can't deceive anymore. He can't attack anymore. He can't confuse anymore. He can't hate anymore. He can't pervert anymore. He can't destroy anymore. One of the glorious things about this place called heaven is the devil won't be there in my Father's house. We don't realize sometimes the pain, the agony, and the suffering that we go through. Too many times we'll blame it on other people. But let me tell you, the root of the problem with pain and suffering is the devil, Satan, Lucifer. But there's coming a day when God will grab him by the back of the neck and throw him into the torture chamber created for the devil and his angels, and he'll be locked down there for all eternity, where he will suffer for what he's done to God and to mankind. Oh, this place called heaven, it's a place where thieves cannot enter, according to Luke chapter 12, verse 33. It's a place where there are no evil in people, Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8. It's a place where no one can cause another to have fear. Those that commit abominations against God will not be in heaven. There'll be no more murder in heaven. No more whoremongers in heaven. No more witchcraft in heaven. No idolatry in heaven. No one will lie to another in heaven. In heaven, God the Father lives there, according to Matthew chapter 6, verse number 9. In heaven, it is a place where the angels are, according to Matthew chapter 18, verse number 10. It's a place where the saved of all of history will remain for all eternity, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 14. It's a place where the works of the flesh will not be allowed, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21. The Bible says there in Galatians 5, there's no adultery in heaven. There's no fornication in heaven. There's no uncleanness in heaven. There's no gossip in heaven. There's no division in heaven. There's no temper in heaven. There's no heresy in heaven. There's no jealousy in heaven. There's no fights in heaven. There's no drunkenness in heaven. What a wonderful place. What a wonderful place, and that's where I'm going. I'm saved. Saved. Wonderfully saved. And if you're saved, this is a place that you'll go. in heaven. It's a place where there is a pure river of water called the river of life, according to Revelation chapter 22, verse number 1. In heaven, it's a place where there is pure fruit. There's a tree that bears 12 kinds of fruit, according to Revelation chapter 22, verse number 2. No pesticides needed there. No poisons in the water. The fruit will be pure and sweet as God created it. There's a place called heaven where there is perfect provision. No one does without anything that they truly need, according to Revelation 22, verse number 2. It's a place of sinlessness, according to Revelation 22, verse number 3. It is a place where there is no curse. You see, when Adam and Eve fell, there was a curse placed on mankind and the earth. But in heaven, the curse will be lifted. It is a place of perfect government, according to Revelation 22, verse number 3. You say, perfect government? How could you have perfect government? It won't be ran by the Democrats. It won't be ran by the Republicans. It'll be ran by a king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He'll control everything. There won't be any elections in heaven. We've already voted. It's Jesus that will outshine them all. One day we'll be in heaven, you see. It's a place of perfect service, according to Revelation 22:3, where it says, "And his servants shall serve him." This place called heaven is where we will finally see the face of our blessed Redeemer, according to Revelation chapter 22, verse number 4. This place called heaven is a place of perfect rest, according to Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 9. This place called heaven is a place where we will be with Jesus Christ forever and ever, according to John chapter 14, verse number 3. This place called heaven is a place where we will receive our inheritance as God's children, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. It's a place where we will reign with Him throughout all eternity, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 12. It's a place where we will shine as the stars, according to Daniel chapter 12, verse number 3. It's a place where we will receive rewards and crowns for the work that we've done for the Savior while here on this earth, according to 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 and 25. It is a place created by God, according to Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. It is a place where we will live forever, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. It is a place where there will be no divided loyalties, according to Revelation 22:4, and His name shall be in their forehead, meaning we'll all belong to Him, and we won't have to choose anymore. We'll just be Jesus. We'll be His, and He'll be ours, and that's the only loyalties we'll need when we get to heaven. Oh, this place called heaven. There are no funerals there. There's no grieving. There's no mausoleums. There are no coffins there. There are no obituaries there. There are no wakes or viewings there. There are no tombstones there. You'll not find a hearse in heaven. There's no grave in heaven. Why? Because in heaven there are no funerals. There's no death. There are no hospitals in heaven. When we get there, you'll not find an ambulance. You'll not find rubber gloves to keep someone from being contaminated with contaminated blood. Oh no, there are no emergency rooms in heaven. There are no heart monitors in heaven. There are no stethoscopes in heaven. There are no need for doctors or nurses or insurance. Not in heaven. Oh no, not at all. Not at all. There's no crime in heaven. There's no need of a security guard in heaven. There's not state police officers needed in heaven. We won't need the FBI in heaven. We won't need a forensic scientist to figure out who did what to who. Not in heaven. Oh, not in heaven. There are no prisons in heaven. There are no jails in heaven. There are no court proceedings in heaven trying to find someone guilty or innocent of murder. There are no badges needed in heaven. There are no metal detectors in heaven. Oh no, not in heaven. Why? There's no crime there. No hospitals there. No funerals there. There's no sickness there. There's no blindness in heaven. There's no deafness in heaven. There's no cancer in heaven. There's no multiple sclerosis in heaven. There are no heart attacks in heaven. There's no depression in heaven. There are no broken bones in heaven. There are no back problems in heaven. Not at all. Not at all. Why? We're in heaven. And when we get to heaven, there's no sickness there. There are no evil people there. There are not going to be murderers in heaven or rapists in heaven. There'll be no robberies in heaven. There's no kidnapping in heaven. There's no fear of incest in heaven. There's no sodomy in heaven. There's no abuse in heaven. There's no hate in heaven. There's no divorce in heaven. There's no drunk driving death in heaven. What a wonderful place. What a wonderful place. You and I that are born again, we're saved. We're going to a land that is fairer than day. And by faith, I can see it afar. Hey, my Father waits over the way to prepare a dwelling place for me there. That's what heaven is. You see, the Bible says here in John chapter 14, verse number 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. He says, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my Father's house might be filled. You see, God's home is a place called heaven, and in God's home there are many mansions, and God said, I want those mansions filled up. And what a wonderful place. You and I, as born again Christians, saved by the blood of the Lamb, we get to look forward to this place called heaven. Let me say to you this morning. I want to say, number one, God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. I thank God I'm saved. I thank God, hey, if you're saved, you ought to thank God you're saved. If you never say amen in church, when somebody says you ought to thank God you're saved, you ought to say amen right there. I mean, that's worth saying amen about. I mean, that's worth getting excited about. Hey, but God wants everybody saved. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, God is saying there, I want everybody to repent from depending on themselves. I want them to turn to a total dependence on Jesus Christ to take them to heaven someday when they die. And the Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish. Any should perish. That word any in the Greek there means any. God doesn't want anybody to go to hell. Hell was not created for mankind. According to the Bible, hell was created for the devil and his fallen angels there to go to hell. But the devil's goal is to take everybody he can with him. But the Bible even says hell hath enlarged herself. Can I tell you why they had to enlarge hell? Because its original occupancy was only for the devil and one third of the fallen angels from heaven. People were never supposed to go there. It was a super torture chamber for Lucifer and his fallen angels. And God doesn't want any human being going to hell. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, God doesn't want anybody in hell. He wants all of them in heaven. All of them. Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, we sing a song, whosoever surely meaneth me. Surely meaneth you too. Surely meaneth you. Whosoever may come. Whosoever wants to get saved can get saved. Whosoever means anyone. Whosoever means everyone. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And He said, for whosoever shall call can be saved. I love the song, Jesus loves the little children. But listen, all the children of the world. All of them. Not just yours. Not just mine. All of them. Jesus loves all the little children. Not just here in Martinsburg, West Virginia. All the little children of the world. All the little children of the what? The world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. God wants you saved. God wants the little children of the world saved. And you know something? The Bible teaches that God builds mansions in heaven. He's got a construction company and He's building mansions in heaven. God wants you saved and He is preparing a mansion for you. And God wants your neighbors saved and He's preparing mansions for them. Hey, God wants everybody saved. I said to you, number one, God wants everyone saved. All the little children of the world. He has mansions that He's building. God wants the folks of our city saved. God wants the folks that live on Ohio Court here in Martinsburg. He wants them all saved. God wants the people that live on King Street to get saved. God wants the people on your street to get saved. God wants the people on your bus route to get saved. Why? He's building mansions for them. Hey, God wants the people in your subdivision to get saved. He's building mansions for them. God wants the people that live on Queen Street to be saved. God wants the people that live on Route 11 to be saved. God wants the people that live on Boston Street right here in Martinsburg to get saved. He wants the people that live on Boyd Avenue right here in this city to be saved. What? He's preparing mansions. He said, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. God is building mansions and he wants the mansions filled with people. Why? Hey, God wants us all saved. God not only wants the people right here in our city saved, God wants the people here in our state saved. God wants the people out in Spring Mill saved and Ransom. God wants the people in Mineral County saved. God wants the people in Hedgesville saved and Berkeley Springs saved and Inwood saved and Charleston saved. God wants the people in Berkeley County saved and the people in Jefferson County saved and the people in Morgan County saved and on and on. God not only wants the people in our city, God wants the people in our county saved. But wait a minute. God not only wants those people saved, God wants people all over the United States of America saved. God wants the people in Maryland to get born again. Why? He's got all these mansions. He wants them filled up. God wants to bring people to enjoy that heaven that I described earlier. Hey, God's worked hard. You won't believe what heaven's like. The Bible says, I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the hearts of man that which God hath prepared for them that love him. God's worked on heaven through all eternity. It's glorious. It's marvelous. It's stupendous. It's magnificent. And God said, I want you to get everybody you can. I want you to get them saved. I want them to come on up to the heavenly city. I've got mansions in which I want them to live. I've been working on it. I can't wait till they get there. Go get all the little children of the world. Bring them all up here. They've suffered and they've been through enough. I want them to get saved so someday they can come to the heavenly city. God wants everyone saved. God wants the people in Maryland saved. God wants people all across these United States of America saved. He wants the people down in Virginia saved. He wants the people in Kentucky saved. And the people in Arkansas saved. And the people in Pennsylvania saved. And the people in Texas saved. The people in Maine saved. He wants the people in Colorado saved. And North Carolina saved. And Tennessee saved. And Florida saved. And Ohio saved. And Louisiana saved. The people in New Mexico saved. And the people in Mississippi saved. God wants them saved. God wants them saved. God wants people from all around the world saved. God wants the people in this building today that are not born again to get saved today. He wants to take you to heaven someday. He has a mansion for you. But not only that, he wants the people here in our city saved. Not only that, he wants the people in the surrounding county saved. Not only that, he wants the people in their surrounding state saved. But not only that, he wants everybody in the United States of America saved. But wait a minute. He said, go ye into all the world. All the world. Folks, Christianity is bigger than your backyard. There's more to this than just you and yours. There's more to this than just you being saved and your husband being saved and your wife being saved and your kids being saved. Jesus loved all the little children. All the little children of the world. And God wants people saved all around this globe. He wants the people saved in Mexico. He wants the people saved. Why? He has mansions that he's building. He's building mansions for somebody in Mexico. He wants the people in France saved. Why? He's building mansions. He wants the people in England and Portugal and Poland and Ukraine saved. He's building mansions for them. He wants people in Yugoslavia and Panama saved. He's building mansions for them. The people in the Philippines and in New Zealand and Iceland and Korea and Madagascar and Australia and Iraq and in Bulgaria and Italy and Kuwait and Ireland and Venezuela and Uganda and Haiti and Puerto Rico and New Guinea and Albania and Israel and Spain and Iran. Hey, God wants them all saved. God wants the people in Germany saved. Do you know what they call a pastor in Germany? A German shepherd. For you blondes, just laugh and we'll tell you the joke later. You'll get it. Slow boat. God wants everybody around the world saved. God wants the people in Norway saved, in Taiwan saved. He wants the people in Sweden saved, in Africa saved, in China saved, in Australia saved. He wants the cannibals of New Guinea saved. You hear about the cannibal that was sent to a Christian school, a little cannibal boy sent to a Christian school for the very first time. He got expelled. Found out he was buttering up his teacher. Hear about the cannibal man. He came home late from work one night and his wife was mad at him. Cannibal wife is mad at the cannibal husband and he's home late and all she'd give him was a cold shoulder. You hear about the missionary that tried to bring a cannibal into the United States of America? They stopped the cannibal at the border. He was trying to smuggle in arms. I say to you, God wants everybody saved. When God said, He said, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said, I want you to go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my Father's house might be filled. God said, I'm building mansions and I want the mansions full. I want them full of your family. But yet, I want them full of people across the county and across the state and across the United States and across this globe. I want to save them all. God loves all the little children of the world. May I say to you, secondly, God is preparing mansions and He prepares them in advance. Listen, John 14:2, the Lord said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Notice, it says there are many mansions. It says that He is preparing a place. That word pre there means before. I am, before you get there, already preparing or building mansions. Before what? Before we get to heaven. The Bible says again in Luke 14:23, and the Lord said unto the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in that my house might be filled. God said, I've got this place called heaven. That's God's house. God said, I'm building all these mansions, but I want the mansions to be full. This lends to teach that God builds some mansions in advance by faith, hoping some people would get saved. He wants those mansions to be filled with people. He wants His house to be full. God's city called heaven has some vacancies. You ever seen a hotel with a big red light that says, no vacancy? Well, let me tell you something. Heaven has a big red light in the window that says vacancy. Vacancy. Plenty of room. There are some mansions already built, and God is ready to make them specifically unique and fix them up for you or for whoever. But those mansions, God wants us to fill them. He said that my house might be filled. Hey, all mansions in heaven are not spoken for yet.
Right.
Now see, I've got a mansion. I know I've got one. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where I'll never grow old. And someday yonder I will never more wander, but I walk on streets that are purest gold. I got mine. But wait a minute. There are some mansions that are not full yet. He said, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. That my house, where is God's house? God's house is in heaven. And He said there are vacancies. And we've got to do what we can to fill the mansions to the brim. We've got to fill those mansions. God so desires that people be saved. He prepares a place for them, hoping that we will reach them. God built mansions in heaven, and He expects you and I to do what we can to reach people to put into those mansions. God has pre-built some mansions for someone, and He expects us to fill those mansions. I said to you, first of all, I said that God wants everybody saved. I say to you, secondly, that He prepares in advance some mansions in heaven, and He wants His house to be filled. And you and I are to try to help fill them.
Right.
Hey, will there be empty mansions in heaven? Could you and I have made a difference? Listen, all we got to do is get the gospel to people. The mansions are paid for in full. That place called heaven, you and I, we don't work for it. It's a gift. It's free. Now, He paid for it. Jesus paid it all. Only Him we owe. But all we have to do is receive Him. Listen, will there be empty mansions in heaven? Hey, let me take you for a little tour, if I may. Heaven, what a wonderful place. This place that I've been describing. Hey, if we could pull back the curtain of glory land, if we could pull back the curtain of heaven, I don't know about you, but I'd want to see my mansion. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Oh, look over there. Hey, there's my mansion. Wow. Oh, I love that. Look at it. Fantastic. There's my mansion. Hey, Mrs. Owens, you have a mansion. Oh, it's beautiful. It's decked out with purple curtains, honey. My wife really likes purple. It's got purple curtains. And look at all of that. Oh, they're fantastic. There's a purple lawnmower there for you, hon. Hey, they're up there. Do you realize it? Your mansions, they may be finished already. I don't know. But He said, I go to prepare a place for you. You better stop and realize something. When somebody asks you what you're worth, you can't show them the deed to everything you own because you've got a deed to a mansion in heaven. I mean, if they really want to know what you're worth, the little piddly stuff you have here on earth, that's nothing. I mean, you need to tell the banker, you need to say, well, I do own this one place. He'll say, is it a vacation place? You'll say, oh, is it a vacation place? What's it worth? To be honest, they can't put a value on it. Ah. Hey, Brother Bush, you have a mansion. Brother Bacon, you have a mansion. Hey, Brother Tennis, you have a mansion. Brother Paul Mungan, he's got a mansion up there. Hey, Brother Ewan, hey, you've got a mansion. Brother Young, you've got a mansion. Brother Cowley, you've got a mansion. Brother Heidreich, you've got a mansion. I mean, you've got one. Brother Davis, you've got a mansion. Brother Doss, you've got a mansion. Brother Nash, you've got a doghouse up there waiting. It's waiting on you. You've got a mansion, Brother Nash. Hey, you deacons, you've got a mansion. You do. Brother Brown, you've got a mansion up there. Brother Lowther, a mansion. Brother Peterson, a mansion. You've got your own mansion. Brother Phillips, a mansion. Brother Mel Bush, Brother Hartman, Brother MacArthur. Hey, you've got a mansion. Brother Knight, Brother Hall, you have a mansion up there. I mean, if I could take you on a tour, we could walk down the streets of gold and say, right there, that one right there. Hey, those belong to our church secretaries. There's Mrs. Costa's mansion. Right there it is. And there's a crash helmet made of gold because she can't seem to drive her cars without crashing them. Thank God, no ambulances or insurance or police officers. Well, there'll be police officers. They just won't have to... No, they didn't arrest you yet. Hey, Mrs. Duke's got a mansion. Mrs. Russell, Mrs. MacArthur, Mrs. Jean Mungan, all those secretaries around here, you've got a mansion. He said, but Lawrence, we don't get paid much in the service of the king. You get paid far better than what you realize. It's a good thing God doesn't give it all to you because you waste it like all your other money. He keeps some back. He's got some in a bank account called heaven. He's been investing in real estate for you. He said, well, I'll tell you what, the real estate market, it's hot. You better believe it. And they aren't making any more in heaven. You've got you a plot of land. You've got you a mansion. Hey, bus captains, those of you that are helping keep little boys and girls out of hell, you've got a mansion. Brother McLean, you've got a mansion. Brother Jerkovich, hey, Brother Hall, you've got you a mansion. Miss Plunkett, you've got a mansion. Hey, Chris Cade, you've got a mansion. Brother Leonard, you've got a mansion. Brother Corbiser, Brother Shipler, Brother Greenlee, you've got a mansion. Brother Stoltz, you've got a mansion. Guess what? We could take this tour in heaven. We'd see all your mansions. They're real. They're there. They are really there. I mean, it's a real place. All those other things. But we get a place where we're going to live. And the Bible says God has created for us a mansion. And He's got this construction crew. And things are made of gold and pearl and jewels and diamonds. And it never deteriorates. No storms come to rip your roof off. No neighbors throw their ball over the fence into your backyard. Oh, yeah. You've got it made. The saints of history have mansions there, the Bible says. We would get to see Noah's mansion if we could pull the curtain back today. We'd see Noah's mansion. It might, maybe it looks like a big ark. I don't know. We would see the Apostle Paul's mansion and Abraham's mansion and Joshua, the great captain's mansion and Gideon's mansion and Mary, the mother of Jesus. We'd see her mansion and Elijah's mansion and Peter's mansion. Hey, Sunday school teachers, God has for you a mansion. Mrs. Yates, God has for you a mansion. Hey, Sunday school teacher, Brother Barnes, God has for you a mansion. God has for you a mansion. Brother Stanley and Mrs. Kane and Mrs. Lawrence and Brother Williamson, you have a mansion. You have a mansion. He said, but I don't have the keys. Jesus is the key. You do have Him. You do have Him. He said, but I got a terrible problem of losing my keys. You can't ever lose the key of Jesus Christ. Once He's sealed inside you, the key's there forever, and you have a mansion. You have a mansion, Sunday school teacher. Brother Mrs. Ramsey, you have a mansion. Mrs. Brown, you have a mansion. Brother Hart, you have a mansion. Mrs. Hollinger, you have a mansion. Brother Loeb, you have a mansion. Miss Gillen, you have a mansion. Brother Everhart, a mansion. Brother Millyers, a mansion. Miss Dula, you have a mansion. Woo! Well, I could take you on a tour. I'd like to be a tour guide in heaven and show everybody, hey, you know who lives right there? The Apostle Paul, that's his mansion. Hey, look right here, right there, that guy right there. Hey, that mansion right there belongs to Dave Lawrence. Hey, see that mansion right there? It's a little smaller. That one right there belongs to Rich Hart. He used to work for the IRS. They had to take some money out when he came up here to fix him up. I have a mansion just over the hilltop. I have one. You have one. If you're saved today, you've got one. Now, if you're not saved, you don't have one. You have reservations somewhere else. But I have a mansion, and every born-again Christian has a mansion. Wait a minute. Wait. What are those mansions over there? Whose are they? They seem to be empty. Empty mansions. Could those be the empty mansions of those that we should have won to Jesus Christ? We didn't. I mean, not everybody is gone. Now, there's plenty of housing. But He said, I want my Father's house to be filled. There's vacancies. Is there an empty mansion in heaven that was built for a 5-year-old boy from Korea who died without Christ because there was no missionary? Was there an empty mansion in heaven of an 87-year-old man from Canada that died in a hospital by himself with no family, no friend, and no gospel? Would there be an empty mansion of a 16-year-old girl from Haiti that she starved to death? Will there be an empty mansion of a blind man from the Philippines that never heard the gospel with his working ears? Will there be an empty mansion that was created for a crippled man from Mexico that no one walked to him to give him the gospel? Will there be an empty mansion of a cancer victim from Germany? Will there be an empty mansion of a rape victim from Uganda? Will there be an empty mansion for orphans from the Philippines that never got saved because nobody took them the gospel? Will there be an empty mansion of a Catholic man in Rome that thought the Pope could save him, which he cannot? Will there be an empty mansion of a Muslim from Iraq? Will there be an empty mansion that could have been for a Buddhist from India? Will there be an empty mansion from a cannibal from New Guinea? Will there be an empty mansion from a child that has been sacrificed to an alligator in the dark jungles of some third world country? Hey, will there be an empty mansion that was intended for your dad, but you never brought him to church? You never gave him the gospel? Has Jesus started a mansion for your mama, but you've just not had the courage to tell her about Christ? Will there be an empty mansion for your brother or your sister because they've never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, though you've been with them time and time and time again, but never had the courage to tell them about the Savior? Will be your aunt, your uncle, will there be an empty mansion? Will there be an empty mansion for your son or your daughter? He said, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my Father's house might be full. And if we're talking about heaven there, folks, I'm going to tell you something. There's vacancies in the mansions of heaven and God wants us to fill them. I hate the thought of there being empty mansions because you and I did not do our part. Did we not do our part? Did we not reach out? Did we not give? Did we not do what we could have done to fill the mansions with people? Hey, will there be empty mansions of the people that you work with? Because you never tell them about Jesus. That secretary at work that you've never given a gospel track to one time. You're a little flirtatious with her rather than giving her the gospel, sir. Would it be an empty mansion for that other truck driver that you meet every day but you've never taken the time one time to mention Jesus Christ to him? How about that man that you help frame houses with? You swing a hammer with him. You drive nails with him. You help him build houses here, but you never told him there's a mansion available in heaven. How about that press operator, that fork truck driver? How about that cashier? How about that sock boy? How about that other waitress that you divvy up tips at the end of the day with, but you've never told them there are riches beyond compare available to them? Were their mansions set empty? Were there be vacancies in heaven because you never told anybody? You never told your boss? You never told a maintenance man? You never told the manager? You never told another sales clerk? You never told the bank teller? You never told the other office friend? Hey, isn't there people that you're with every day of your life, 365 days a year, but you never told them one time about Jesus Christ, and you've got a mansion, and you've got a deed, and you look forward to it, and you're happy about it, but you're going to let them go homeless and to hell because you wouldn't tell them. Yeah, I've got a mansion. I'm going to tell you something. America's so stingy. We've got it. We've got it made. We've got everything we need. You've got your mansion. Think about it. Think of all the stuff you have. Think. You have heaven. Holy place. That's yours. Happy place. That's yours. Place without death. That's yours. No sorrow. That's yours. No crying. That's yours. No pain. That's yours. No darkness. That's yours. No hunger. That's yours. No thirst. That's yours. No devil. That's yours. No evil can enter in. That's yours. That's yours. No murder, no abomination, no witchcraft, no idolatry. That's yours. No one can lie. That's yours. God the Father lives there. That's yours. The angels are there. That's yours. All the saints in history are there. That's yours. Hey, none of the works of the flesh. No adultery. That's yours. No fornication. That's yours. No uncleanness. That's yours. No gossip. That's yours. No temper. That's yours. No heresy. That's yours. No jealousy. That's yours. No fights. That's yours. No drunkenness. That's yours. Place with a river of life, that's yours. Place with a tree of life, that's yours. Perfect provision, that's yours. Sinlessness, that's yours. Perfect government, that's yours. Hey, perfect service, that's yours. You'll see His face, that's yours. Perfect rest, that's yours. Be with Jesus, that's yours. Get your inheritance, that's yours. Reign with Him, that's yours. Shine as the stars, that's yours. Get your rewards, that's yours. Get your crowns, that's yours. No sickness, that's yours. Be with God, that's yours. Be with Him forever, that's yours. Hey, no divided loyalties, that's yours. You get the house, you get the gold, you get the pearls, you get the rewards, you get it all. Every bit of it, you got it all. It's all yours. You didn't have to pay for a lick of it. And He asked you to give a little back to Him, and you say, what? Money-grabbing preacher. Thick-headed idiot. Come on, Christianity. Wake up and smell the coffee. Especially Americans. No funerals. That's yours. No hospitals. That's yours. No crime. That's yours. No sickness, that's yours. No evil, that's yours. We won't even tell anybody about Jesus. We should phase out our soul winning program. That is a thing of the past. Somebody's full of prunes. It's all ours. I'm almost ashamed to sing it. I've got a man. Yeah. I've got mine. But there's somebody, they don't have theirs. Now, what are we going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? You going to tell somebody at work about the mansion? If you got one, you ought to want everybody to get one. What are you going to do about it? Not come to church again for 4 months? Maybe we'll see you again 120 days or so? Not love God enough to come back at night to church? Say, what in the world? What's wrong with us, Christianity? Jesus loves the little children. We love to hear people sing that song. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. You think, oh, that is so cute. I agree with that song, do you? Do you love them enough to help us keep them out of hell and get them a mansion? If I had to pick the people in the world that really deserved a mansion, I wouldn't pick people in the United States of America. I mean, if I had to pick them. I'd pick the people that are starving to death with no clothes and no health care in some other country before I give it to America. I mean, if you had to pick, we got it made. We spend more feeding our dogs than most people give to missions. People with animals feed their animals better in America than most third world countries feed their children. So what can we do? I'll tell you what. I'm finished. Why don't you put somebody in a mansion today? If you're not saved, why don't you get saved? We'll put you in a mansion. We'll fix you up royal. We show you how you can trust Jesus Christ before you leave this building today. You can get saved and go to heaven and get you a mansion. You can sing, I've got a mansion. Brand new one. Why don't you tell somebody about Jesus Christ? Grab you some gospel tracts. Show up soul winning on Tuesday or Thursday or Saturday or every day and start telling people about Christ. People don't like soul winning churches. They just care about themselves. That's their problem. You say, boy, that soul winning, that gets me out of my element. Good. Good. Give to a church that's a soul winning church, not one that just talks about it, keeping people out of hell. That's what you ought to do. You've got to be tithing, giving your offering to the right kind of a church. Not sending it off to the fruitcakes on the television, never getting anybody saved. Get to the Faith Promise program. You know something? We can send missionaries out. Brother Heinrich, tell me something. What do you think it costs to send you to the Philippines for 2 weeks? Total cost of the trip. $2,000 had almost 9,000 people say, do the math, how'd you like to give somebody a mansion that cheap? That's cheap. Keeping people out of hell pretty cheap. Think about it, businessman. Think about good investment. $2,000, 9,000 saved. Figure out how much them souls cost you. Incredible. I've got me a mansion, but they're empty mansions. We could put somebody in a mansion. We could give and keep somebody out of hell. We could keep the old soul-winning New Testament church going. We could send missionaries everywhere. Give to the Faith Promise program. Hey, some morning you'll find me touring that city where the Son of God is the light. And when I tour the city, you know what I'd like to see, Brother Jimmy? Hope I can walk by and see a mansion and see somebody. I'll say, you know what? The guy that lives right there, I took my Bible and showed him how to be saved. Now, give God the glory, but I got to be a part. You know what's going to happen, Brother English, when you get to heaven? You and Mrs. English are going to walk down the street there together and somebody's going to run out and greet you and say, Millard English, I know the thousands of dollars that you've given to missions and I'm here and this is my mansion and you helped me get it, sir. And a few of you, you could take a tour with us and you can meet the people that we helped. And you're going to wish you would have. Because this life is short and the next one's long. Yeah, please turn your telephone off. You know what our missions program is? It's virtually a group of people giving their money, and while they do, they're singing, come and go with me to my Father's house, to my Father's house, to my Father's house. Come and go with me to my Father's house. When we give to missionaries, what we're doing is we're trying to keep people out of hell. Where there's joy, joy, joy. A walk on streets of gold in my Father's house. The devil won't be there in my Father's house. Jesus is the way to my Father's house. Can you imagine what heaven will mean? Can you imagine what heaven's going to mean to the poor, destitute people of the world? They go from that hunger, starvation, freezing, abuse. You know, they're just like me and you. Boy, when they wake up, they're going to say, goodness, look at this. They'll outrun you to the throne. You can almost be guaranteed. They're going to say, where is he? Where is Jesus? And you're going to be, you know, plodding along. I'll get down there and see him. This place about like the place I lived in. Four. Because you got a bunch of your heaven down here while other people suffered so much hell in the way they had to live. The great part about heaven is the presence of Jesus Christ. You've got your mansion. Now, you satisfied? Okay. If you're satisfied, that's fine. But you know what I'd like to see a bunch of you do? I'd like to see a bunch of you decide that you're not only going to accept the free gift of salvation for yourself, you have your mansion, but you're going to help some other people get mansions. By you telling others about Christ, bringing others to church, getting involved and committed to your church, but then you'll give to missionaries that we can send around the world so they can gather people to fill the mansions. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.